For any Yankee fans looking for a podcast to listen to, I suggest you check out NYY Sports Talk.
Are you listening?
Tune into the fellas.
Damn. Yeah. Yeah.
There's no BS, there's no drama. Just feel like you with the fellas talking baseball.
Welcome back. This is episode 243 of the NYYST podcast. I'm your host, Christian, and as always, joined by my co-host, Chris.
Yo.
Wait for it. And wait for it. And keep it going. And it's got to be really big because he hasn't been here in 6 months. And stat guy, Rye.
What up? What up?
Off of the milk carton and back on the podcast. What's up, bro?
I made it here. It's good to be here, guys.
I was actually getting ready to call Robert Stack and get you featured on Unsolved Mysteries.
You guys, well, it's funny you just said that, dude. Because have you guys watched Heist yet on Netflix?
No.
Because every episode is about FBI's Most Wanted, and as I'm watching it, I'm like, I wonder if Stack Guy Ryan's going to be on one of these episodes soon. And Christian, the first episode of Heist, you might know because it was on Unsolved Mysteries.
D.B. Cooper?
No, it's the 21-year-old girl that stole $3.5 million from Circus Circus, the casino in Vegas.
I don't remember that story.
At the time, spoiler alert, at the time it was an Unsolved Mystery, and now it's solved.
You know, I got to remember that the show is called Unsolved Mystery, so when I watch it and there's no
update, solving you of best the mystery, watch your ass.
I shouldn't get mad anymore. It's in the title of the show, Unsolved.
Unsolved. Mysteries. You do it to yourself. It's like we talked about watching the Yankees. You do it to yourself. You do it to yourself there with the Unsolved Mystery.
Well, we really did it to ourselves this weekend, but before we get into that, patreon.com/NYYST. Please support the show there. $5 a month gets you exclusive content that you cannot find on the main feed, including the brand new episode of Mike's On Late with an interview with a New York Yankee, a very much maligned New York Yankee right now. So definitely check that out. Also go to Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5-star rating and review. Tell us why Greg Allen should have his number retired and leave us a 5-star rating and review as well when you do that. And subscribe to the show on YouTube.
Can we segue nicely into Greg Allen? I think he deserves like a few minutes because I really think he's been a nice piece to this lineup. Agree or disagree?
Well, before we get into Greg Allen specifically, let's just
talk about the outfield situation.
Let's go over what's happened here since we last spoke. The Yankees are now without six of, and you want to say, key players? Yeah, I would say key players. If you don't want to call Wandy Peralta, maybe not a key player, but a piece of the bullpen. Jonathan Loaisiga. Who else?
Hey, let's put it this way with Wandy Peralta. When you have the lefty option of a shit game between Wilson and Peralta, and Peralta's not there, he becomes a key player because Justin Wilson's a joke.
Okay. Nestor Cortez, Gio Urshela, Kyle Gashioka, and Aaron Judge are all on the COVID list, although we saw a tweet from Jonathan Loaisiga earlier today with emojis of a plane and the Statue of Liberty. So it seems that he's out of quarantine and on his way to New York. We'll see whether or not he's on, because we're recording Monday night. We will see whether or not that means he will be activated for the Philly series on Tuesday. But that does seem like good news that he's on his way to New York and he should be with the Yankees shortly.
Did the Statue of Liberty in the emoji, did it have a mask on like in the vaccine commercial?
He did not update to iOS 101.19, so he does not have the mask emojis.
Gotcha.
Was it maybe a Didi thing? Because Didi's in town. They're playing the Phillies. Ooh. Is it just emojis? Yeah, maybe. Talking shit.
No,
maybe.
Yeah, he's talking shit.
That's how you talk shit to Didi. You just fucking emoji him.
Strike Didi out. Strike him out.
If someone told you, first of all, let's just start here, that Nestor Cortez was going to be a big piece to this rotation, which is mind-blowing, and then told you that he wasn't going to be here to play one of these, what ended up being three games of this series, to pitch in one of those games, would you ever think the Yankees would pull away with this lineup two out of the three games?
No, I mean, come on, bro. Like, when this COVID stuff came down Thursday and the game got canceled and you realized that it was like Judge and Urshela on top of the bullpen guys, look, we talked about this last week that it was going to be hard for the Yankees to make the postseason, that we didn't think that they would, even, you know, based on where they were going into the break. And then this happens. There's no way that you think they're coming away with a run in this series, let alone winning two games.
And how difficult do you think it was for the Yankees to start Gary Sanchez the other day with Cole in the mound?
I mean,
do you think it came close to that not happening?
I have no idea, and I honest to God, I don't want to know, because it worked. So I think we can put that to bed finally.
Do you think that's it now? Do you think that Higgy? No. Let me ask you this. I'll ask it better. Do you think that now Higgy will only play on the necessary days, day game after a night game?
You want an honest answer?
I do.
You want what
I do. I want an honest answer.
No, I don't think it means anything. I think he's going to go right back to catching Gerrit Cole.
That's fucking ridiculous.
Well.
Yeah, no, he'll be back to catching him once he's healthy.
Healthy.
Look, we talked about this. I don't know if we really touched a lot on it last week, but it was something that was a real theme when I did one of those shows by myself about Gerrit Cole being, quote, a fraud. And you know what? He's shut everybody up. He's come out and he shoved the last two times out, and he's shown. And here's what I really love about Gerrit Cole right now. He didn't let this really get away from him, where he could have said, I cannot pitch to this guy. I need anybody. I need a warm body back there. And Rob Brantley, I guess he qualifies as a warm body. So he didn't let it get to that point. He could have. We all know he could have.
But has he ever been the one to stand up and say, I need a catcher. I need Higgy behind the plate.
Do we know that? Are we ever going to know that?
No, maybe, but I just don't think he's that kind of guy. And he has been asked it. And clearly he's someone who doesn't try to deceive the media when he comes out and says he was using spider tack.
Remember the game in Buffalo when Gary came in and bailed him out and hit that big home run?
Yes.
And then Cole was like, oh, Gary got me through the eighth or whatever it was. And he was talking all highly about Gary. And we were like, if he's going to say that about Sanchez, and that definitely means Gary will be catching him next start. And what happened?
So that proves my point even more. That it's the Yankees. It's not Gerrit Cole.
But he's also not going to be the type of guy to take shots at a teammate in the media.
Mm-hmm. Gerrit Cole has way too much pride to honestly go up to management and say, I need Higgy behind the plate. Mm-hmm. He knows he's better than that. And he proved that. Let's get something straight here. He didn't even have a chance to prove he could throw to Gary Sanchez. It was like one day Higgy gets put into the lineup and all of a sudden he has a really probably his first truly dominant game as a Yankee, and there was no looking back, and they just continue to do it as if he couldn't pitch to Gary Sanchez. I don't think Gerrit Cole in any way, shape or form has anything to do with the fact that they put Higgy behind the plate every single day. I think Gerrit Cole's the kind of guy who needs to just know who's behind the plate so he can work with his catcher leading up to his start. He doesn't give a fuck who's back there because he knows he's Gerrit fucking Cole and he's going to dominate whoever's out there.
Yeah, that's actually false because he did have a personal catcher in Houston as well. So there's clearly something to him feeling comfortable with one person over the other.
What was that, Martin Maldonado? Was that his catcher?
was Maldonado there?
I believe it was. I know Chirinos was there, but obviously.
It was Maldi. Maldi over there.
Let's just say this. We all are absolutely in love with Gerrit Cole. So it takes a. It's very painful.
Booner.
It's very painful for someone like Christian doing those shows to have to rip him. Right? It really is. I mean, that's got to be one of the toughest things that you had to come on and do. True or false?
S for Dodd.
Right. So, for those of you who know hablo español.
That was good.
That sounded just like him. So,
All right.
So, relax. For you to do that, had to be extremely difficult. It's one. This is like, out of all the things you would be fine being wrong about, it's having to rip Gerrit Cole. You can't be happier that that you were one of the people, me included, that he went out and shut the fuck up these last couple starts. I couldn't be happier to be wrong about it. And I did say that he would adjust without the spider tech shit. I didn't know if he'd come back as dominant, but clearly he's still got it. It's a bit of an adjustment. You've seen it across the league, but this dude is for real. I mean, Gerrit Cole's for real, and we can't waste his time here.
Well, I don't know if I love what he's doing on the mound more than I love what he's doing on the team bus for the All-Star game. Although his
apparently that was false.
Yeah, well, you know what? Then J.D. Martinez is a real scumbag for lying about it.
Look, J.D. Martinez picked the wrong guy, man. Amy Cole is on top of her shit. She's going to call you out.
Yeah, well, whatever happened or didn't happen, Gerrit Cole shoved it up Martinez's ass the other night. He struck him out three times.
Do you think Gerrit Cole was pissed that she came out and said something like that?
No, because he's like, babe. Amy Cole rules
the roost. Stop talking for me. I have make a $36 million a year. I don't need you to talk for me.
Did you see them on the red carpet at the All-Star game?
Dude.
They're who the coolest. Dresses that kid? You think Gerrit
he's
Cole
kind
dresses
of a
that
dork.
Kid?
He's kind of a dork. Like, outside, it, like, if you listen to his press conference.
You think Gerrit Cole puts his kid in Ferragamo loafers, or that's Amy?
Nah, he just pays for them.
That might be Uncle Brandon. Uncle Brandon might be doing that.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Put on the Yankees? Can we get him here?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Although they're having a hell of a year, they're not gonna be pairing anybody.
They got to be the biggest surprise of Major League Baseball.
You know, it's
and they seem legit.
They're winning, and that division's not easy.
Were you talking about A-Rod pre-recording?
Yes, pre-recording.
So it's funny that you brought that up about how yesterday when they were bringing up Joey Gallo, that you said he's just, you know, just falling into the ESPN bullshit. Well, really, he was acting like Yankee Twitter last night, where it's like, well, why don't we go out and get Christian Yelich? Because he's not available.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but like my problem with A-Rod saying that Joey Gallo is not a fit, which I understand his point.
It's not true,
But it doesn't work when then you're announcing that Ryan Lamar is in the outfield with Brett Gardner in center field. And fucking Trey Amberg, he just got injured. And Clint Frazier can't walk straight. He can propose, but he can't walk straight and swing a bat.
Look, I don't buy that there's anything wrong with Clint Frazier's vision, because I've seen pictures of the woman that he's
married. Let me tell you something. When I proposed to my wife, it was one of the most nerve-wracking times of, like, just emotional, like, everything's boiling to the top. You're nervous. You're excited. That is like an emotional drain. Like, if I had something wrong with my brain or my vision, I would have fucking blacked out. And he's like completely cool, just like fucking taking pictures and whatever. I said this before the recording, he has, we don't know what the fuck to do with uveitis right now. And the Yankees are going to prolong it as long as they can, for as much as they can.
Yeah, I don't really buy that at this moment, because like you said, they're on the 90th string outfielder right now.
What are they going to do with this kid, though? Like, he's clearly just not a fit here. Does he have any value?
Yeah, I mean, he could probably work at Foot Locker. I heard he's in the Sneakers.
Does Clint Frazier have any trade deadline value?
Didn't we talk about this?
Not with me.
I don't know. I talk a lot of shit a lot of the time. I don't know who I talk to.
You don't talk to me, bro.
5 months.
We did mention this about how Cashman didn't want to trade him for Robbie Ray. Now I couldn't even get Robbie Ray's poop for him.
Oh yeah. Yeah, but I still think that
he has no trade. I mean, really, what could you realistically Brian Cashman called, hey, you guys need an outfielder? I got Clint Frazier.
He could probably make out in L.A., though, because he's good with the celebrities in the stands. Right? Like, he's signing a lot of autographs and doing fun stuff like that.
Yeah,
so
I'm sure somebody would take a flyer on him, but the Yankees aren't going to get anything for him.
He's got to go somewhere where there's a lot of celebrities in the crowd.
He's not going to like Cincinnati or something like that.
No. Mm-hmm.
No, no celebrities there, really.
I don't think there's many civilians there.
Except for Paul O'Neill.
The Mets are in Cincinnati right now, and it's there's no COVID restrictions in the ballpark, and there's like eight people there. So
They're having a decent year since Natty.
I think they're 20 games under 500, Ryan.
I think they're three games over.
Are they over?
I think they're 48 and 45 right now.
Let's look at that.
Maybe do they have Reds, is Sonny we'll Gray pitching podcast. Or what?
We could just do NL Central pod.
We really fucked up because I was wearing an eye patch for a while. It was the perfect time to segue into a Pirates podcast.
Yeah. I think Sonny Gray's on the IL.
I think so too. Oh, I'm calling it DL then. Again, by the way. I'm done with IL.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Cool, bro.
I'm done with it.
Cool. Okay.
That's fine. Do whatever you want, bro.
Actually, wow, Ryan, you're right, dude. Support they, you. They yeah, are wow. 48 right. and wow. 40. They're 48 and 45. They were actually.
Oh, they're better than the Yankees. That's good.
They were actually doing a little bit better, but they're on a three-game losing streak right now.
They're one game.
Probably more runs.
They're half a game worse than the Yankees now. That's sad.
They have like 60 more runs scored than the Yankees.
That's so sad.
I'm pretty sure the Yankees have the lowest run score total.
They have the lowest. ESPN made sure to say
in the American League. It's just Texas and Kansas City and Baltimore. I guess they, with that 9-run game against Boston, they,
you know,
jumped up.
ESPN had to mention it 65 times last night, but they have the lowest batting average with runners in scoring position.
Oh, that doesn't matter. Batting average doesn't matter.
Oh, that's true. God. Only when it's for bad stats. It only matters when someone's batting 150.
MLB.com just now on the homepage is just that Duran kid. He hit his first career home run against the Blue Jays today. Like, of course, they got to fucking make him the cover of the website.
I'm pretty sure it's shortstop,
talking about him all series.
First base, I want to say center field and left field. The Yankees have in those four positions, they have the fourth lowest or lower OPS for those positions in Major League Baseball.
You know, I thought about it the other day. If this team misses the playoffs, you're going to really, out of all the shitty losses, and I know it's happened more than once, but out of all the fucking losses that you're going to look back and say, this is the reason why, it's that fucking Sunday game in Houston, man. That game in Houston is going to, if they miss out, that's going to be the turning point, because they really would have been set up so much nicer. They would have been, I think... What are they at of the loss column with the Red Sox right now? Six?
Yeah.
So they were six after the All-Star break, then jumped to... No, they were eight. So they would have been seven, would have lost the game eight, seven... No, they would have been five games back. Opposed to the...
Yeah, but Chris, you don't know if they would have won the series based off of the fallacy. Oh,
the fallacy of the predetermined outcome. Thanks, Michael.
You don't know if that win in Houston means they don't get COVID and then they have to play four games and they split the series. Shit. Or maybe because Ryan Lamar and Greg Allen are super heroes now, they might even lose all four games. You don't know.
Did you think Lamar going into the wall was the end of his career? Because I did for a second.
No, I thought he was definitely.
Well, no, it was game. His landing is where I thought his career was over. Like his body gave out.
You saw the way his leg kind of.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, it was really just weird. A hard landing on the knee, but you saw him just like kind of pointing to the knee and going, dude, it's like a little broken, but we don't have any outfielders, so I'm good.
Yeah.
And then he gets up and hits a bomb piece. So
it was a porch job.
I don't care. It's a bomb to me.
Hey. It was the only home run in one stadium in Major League Baseball.
ERA plus.
What's his OPS plus?
OPS plus.
His OPS plus went down because it was only home run.
Because it was only home run, yeah. Unreal.
Yeah, so really if you want to go back to the timeline on Thursday when all this shit happened, the game gets canceled and they get shut out on Friday, I mean, where are you at that point? You're low. I mean, like, you're lower than low at that point.
You're lower than low, main, like, because you come off of that loss before the All-Star game. But on top of that, let's just put what Jordan Montgomery is into context here. He's supposed to be our fifth starter. This guy goes out time and time again and continues to give you quality starts, which, by the way, I kind of broke down quality starts. It's really not that quality. Like a 6-inning, 3-run game equates to a 4-5 ERA.
Thanks, doctor.
Okay, so like I don't know why that's quality, but for the Yankees, if you're getting that out of your fifth starter,
Wow, Chris just realized that a six inning two because, run start is 450.
No, because right? You know, you don't take the time sometimes to just like break that down. You're just saying quality start because it is. It's a good start.
No, Michael Kay has reminded us numerous times.
I don't. I try not to listen to him, and so you know, the guy goes out there as your fifth starter and he's pitching like a three or four, and they go five games without giving him one run of support. That's unbelievable.
He does this. He has the same MO for every game.
Every
game. He comes out. He looks decent in the first inning. Then by the second or third inning, he gets blitzed for three runs.
You think he's coming out of the game.
And he doesn't. Yeah, you think Boone's warming somebody up. You think he's getting ready to come out. And he doesn't let anything up for the rest of the game.
And you know what? You got to love that about him right now. He's a guy. He's proving to you that he's a guy that he's not going to let the moment get the best of him. Sure, does he have his shit starts? Yeah, but he's really been a reliable pitcher for this rotation that doesn't have There's a lot no of reliable reason pitchers.
When Jordan Montgomery takes the mound and gives you three runs over six innings, that you shouldn't be winning that game.
And some of them have been more than six. He went seven a couple starts ago, and he got pulled, in my opinion, pulled a little early in his one start. And same goes for Tyone. Man, Tyone's been friggin' balls down, man. He's got his balls dropped on the mound.
Yeah, he's got his balls out now.
Gotta love what you're seeing from him.
It took him hitting rock bottom in Philadelphia to kind of figure it out.
We all know what it feels like to hit rock bottom.
Because I think he's had since then he's had I think he had one bad start. He kind of regressed a little bit, but I mean, other than that, he's really starting to show you the potential that Brian Cashman was trading for.
And it makes you even more frustrated that Kluber's not here. Because, like, imagine Kluber kept up on the... I know, it's almost like he doesn't exist.
This fucking guy threw a no-hitter, and you don't even realize he pitched on a team this year.
Not only threw a no-hitter and pitched on the team, but he was pitching to, like, a 2.8 ERA.
No, he was starting to come around and so be that guy.
Imagine he's still that guy, and then Tyone starts to find it, and you got Montgomery pitching the way he is, and the offense... Look... Let's be fair to the Yankees real quick. They've had a few games where the offense doesn't show up, but since Aaron Judge's meeting, this team has really shown up. I mean, two of those games, that team should win. We talked about this. Chapman should have closed out that game against the Mets, and they ended up losing 10-5 when he had a 5-4 lead. And then the game in Houston.
Well, the Angels game, too.
No. I'm just talking about over this more recent stretch.
Yeah, which is the Angels game because he had the meeting during the Angels series.
It wasn't the, that was that meeting was that right before that game
because the Angels and Mets were on the same homestand.
So yeah, I mean, really, you can blame the back end of the bullpen here more than anything else, which almost makes you feel a little better because the offense was just that bad that you want to see them show up. And I was saying this today. This offense is. Everyone's like, oh, well, they have the Scranton fucking Wilkes-Barre lineup out there. Yeah, this team's playing with house money right now. They have nothing to lose. They're playing loose. They're playing aggressive. When's the last time you saw the Yankees play with house money? When they had nothing to lose. They had no expectations. Okay, and what happened in 2017? This team had no right being in the...
I'll die on that. I'll die on that hill that the Yankees didn't lose.
They absolutely did not. They could not hit the ball in Game 7. But they had no right being in Game 7 of the... That was Game 7.
And in Game 6 as well.
And in Game 6, yes. Yeah. But I'm just saying, they had no right being in the ALCS. Thanks. Game 6, Game 7. But they were playing with house money, and the Yankees seem to play best when there's no expectations on them.
All right, Chris. So we ride Ryan Lamar and Greg Allen, and Joey Gallo or Starling Marte.
No, but it explains why when we clearly have a lineup that's a lot less talented than the lineup that's supposed to be out there, it explains why they're winning because this team actually does have depth. This team does have good guys that you can put into a lineup. You don't want to put every single guy that shouldn't be in there because of injury and shit.
You told me you were going to drink acid if Ryan Lamar got called up after LeCastro's injury.
I should have.
Now you're like, Ryan Lamar.
I know. No, I never specifically said Ryan Lamar. Take the home run into the equation. I don't care. The fact that this team won't call Florial up is mind-boggling.
He's not ready.
Okay, I heard that 4 years ago.
It was like 17 4 years ago.
It's crazy, though. It's like the Yankees have certain guys. They just everyone talks about like, oh, he's a prospect. We can't get rid of him. Why? Cashman only calls up the guys that are fringe guys that you don't know what they really are.
That's what I'm saying about Jason Dominguez. Everybody's, you know, and everybody's like all freaking out about him and shit. But what's going to happen in two? I mean, this guy's going to hit 900 in the minor leagues. And what's going to happen? Oh, he's not ready yet.
He's not ready, or they call him up and he's just wasn't nurtured properly. So I'd rather see him just get traded eventually for like a really big piece instead of watching his career die in pinstripes.
What they'll do is like they did with Florida this year. They'll need an extra body for a doubleheader. They'll call him up and be like, yeah, well, we'd rather have, you know, whoever the fuck down there, you know.
Who's
you know, some nondescript also. We'll bring Jay Bruce back.
I'm gonna ask this very specifically. Who's the last highly touted Yankee prospect to come up and be successful?
You know who that is.
Who?
He plays right field.
No. Yeah, I said highly touted.
Oh, really? He wasn't highly touted?
I guess. And I'm not someone who follows the minors too much, but like Aaron Judge was a kind of a fresh name for me when he first broke through the scene.
He was a first round pick. It's not like they.
Yeah, but his expectations were nowhere near what he proved to do. They were nowhere near that.
No, expectations of being a superstar face of Major League Baseball or being a productive starting all-star caliber, you know, maybe
I really just didn't think that of him either, though.
Starting player.
When I'm talking highly touted, I'm talking about guys that are talked about throughout the league every single year. Gleyber Torres is one of them. Clint Frazier is one of them because the Indians had a tough time letting him go. Justice Sheffield was one of them.
Not that tough of a time.
Adams was one of them. I mean.
No, Chance Adams was highly touted by Yankee fans. Nobody outside of New York gave a shit about Chance Adams.
I'm just saying. Fact. Who's the last true superstar that was highly touted to come up here and actually be a superstar?
And I'm going to tell you again, Aaron Judge.
Okay, you want to give Aaron Judge fine. That's one out of what, 50?
Okay. Yeah, well, Glaber, but I don't know.
No, Glaber's coming around now, but I think he's been a major disappointment.
Coming into this weekend, he had the sixth lowest OPS of major league qualifiers.
And you know what, Ryan? You made a great point the other day after that home run. Fuck the fact that it left the ballpark. The fact that he turned on that ball and kept his hands inside and kept it fair proved to me that his swing is back right now. His timing's back. That swing was probably the nicest swing we've seen out of him in 2 years.
Yeah, I think so.
And we need to see more of that from Glaber because when his swing's on, he hit another one the next night. So, I mean, he's got to produce, man, especially right now. You know, I say this all the time. The Yankees are a bottom half, middle bottom half lineup because we have so many swing and miss guys and, you know, all or nothing guys at the top that if you have every guy at the bottom of your lineup just ice cold, you're not doing anything. They're not producing. Look at what kind of a different game you got last night with Gardner getting a couple base hits or getting on base and guys like Greg Allen stepping up and Lamar.
And then you flipped it around, right? Because who was it? Allen, I think, had a base hit, and then DJ LeMahieu had a
drove him in,
hit and run.
Yes, yep. He was on second, and he got him home.
Or was that on Saturday? That was Saturday that Allen got in front of LeMahieu, and LeMahieu drove him in.
Yeah,
but yeah, the Yankees hit and run a couple times yesterday.
A few times they were stealing bases. They had two stolen bases in one inning a couple times this series.
Look, I don't think it's any shock to say that the Yankees need to get a little bit more athletic out there. So some of these guys like Allen and LeCastro and even Ryan Lamar are providing that for them right now. But this is not sustainable long term.
No.
I mean, but it's nice that they came out here and they won a series that they desperately needed to win. But this team, and, you know, we talked about this last week and it was fair because we were all depressed about them blowing that game. And at the end of the first half there, this finale in Houston. But if you think about it, I mean, again, we're going to say we don't want to be the second wild card. It's not what we had our sights set on at the beginning of the year. But they're two games out of a playoff spot. How do you sell on the season when you're two games out of a wild card spot?
They're not selling.
That's why Buster Olney, that little fucking twerp, spends half an inning talking about the Yankees trading Aaron Judge. I mean, really, if you think about it, how stupid that is.
You should be fired immediately. You should be fired immediately for your for the credibility that you supposedly have.
Yeah.
You should be fired
immediately. We talked about this last week, right? The narrative on Aaron Judge, I'm sorry. Yeah, you want to call me an Aaron Judge apologist because – or an Aaron Judge homer? Fine. Go right the fuck ahead. But I think I've been really fair on a lot of different things. I've ripped Brian Cashman and Aaron Boone, who I still have a lot of respect for. And I still have a lot of respect for. I said if the Yankees don't win a World Series, it's got to go. Gerrit Cole, I fucking ripped him to shreds when he deserved it. So I am not in the business of holding back just because I like a certain player. But let's be what was I just talking about here?
You were talking about
Aaron Judge.
Being a Judge apologist.
Let's be fair about the narrative around Aaron Judge that he's injury prone. I don't think that's fair anymore to say because look at 2018. Breaks his wrist.
On is a freak thing.
Is that something that happens to an injury-prone player?
No.
All right, 2019 leading into 2020, he got all fucked up because he broke a rib or whatever diving for a ball. That's not really an injury-prone thing to me.
And he's like 6'8", 300 pounds laying out for a ball. Injury-prone things
to me are what happens to Giancarlo Stanton when he runs to second base, pulls a hamstring. Tricep injury, fucking bicep tendonitis, fucking those are injury prone things. But then now we've done a good job managing Aaron Judge this year where he has been healthy. Now the guy gets COVID. Is that an injury prone thing? Or is that just another? The guy is just to me seemingly had a string of bad luck that's kept him out of the lineup. And people are using that as saying, oh, he's injury prone, which now brings us to the point of. Well, don't we have to trade him? Because we're not going to give this guy $300 million because he's injury prone. He's 30 years old and can't stay on the field.
Yeah, the only bit of evidence that you really had to cling on with Judge and being injury prone was the oblique, because that started to like really come back over and over again. It seemed
like that was like 3 years apart from each other. That was 2016 and then again in 2019.
Well, that's part of what was scary about it, was because he's such a massive guy with a massive upper body swing that you felt like every time he was trying to get a hold of one, he was going to pull the oblique again. And the obliques are scary because
Aaron Hicks, injury prone player.
Yes. I mean, for sure. For sure. Aaron Hicks. I mean,
but I'm sorry. Like, if you guys want to roast me on social media after this show comes out, go right ahead. I'll sit here and talk about it with you, but I'm sorry. It just seems to me like a string of really bad luck has hit Aaron Judge, and people are using that as saying that he's injury prone. Did 2019 suck? Did he have a rash of injuries in 2019? Yeah, he did, but name me one player that goes through a 10-15 year career in professional sports and doesn't have at least one of those seasons where they just everything, you know, they get injured. Name me one guy like
that. Yeah, I think you got to put it into context. And I think I was definitely on board with the narrative that he's injury prone until you put it into context with, you know, Mike Trout. The fact that he's played more games than him since when?
2017, since he's been.
Yeah, so I mean, that says a lot, because you don't look at Mike Trout and say he's injury prone. I mean, no one really knows what the fuck he does other than being the best baseball player on the planet. But at the same time, you don't look at Mike Trout and say, yeah, he's injury prone. He's great, but he's injury prone. You never hear that sentence. So the fact that Aaron Judge has outplayed him says a lot, I think. But just going back to the performance of this team, because we talked about how down we were in the last show because we were depressed after they blew that game in Houston. I got to say, there's going to be a lot more ups, a lot more downs in this season. But the ups aren't as high. Like, if you think of it as being on a fucking roller coaster, as we always compare it to in a 162-game season, in the beginning of the season when they go on that great stretch and they have the best record in MLB through X amount of games, that you're going up a lot higher in emotion saying this team's got it. And then when they fucking crash again, you're really crashing hard. But right now, like, now I'm seeing they're, what, 7-3 in their last 10? Yeah, I'm getting excited again, but I'm not taking it too far until this team proves more to me. This team needs to go on like a 10-game fucking winning streak for me to feel like they found it.
Chris, look at the way they lose games. Like, even in this stretch, doesn't allow you to get excited about how well they've actually played over the last couple of weeks. We talked about it. You know, when they had that really bad series against the homestand against the Angels and Mets, we talked about this last week. If they went 4-2 on that road trip, you'd be ecstatic. You'd sign for it.
But it was how they lost.
But exactly, when you have a game, when you have a chance to sweep, you get one hit, and you have another game where you have a chance to sweep, and you blow, you give up 6 runs in the 9th inning and lose. It doesn't allow you to feel it. And then when this team comes off of the All-Star break, gets the game canceled because 6 players get COVID, and then they come out and they basically, you know, look, they were dead in the water on Friday night, and really, who could blame them based on what was going on? Again, it's another loss where you look at it, and it's like they weren't competitive in it. So it's like, what is this team? And then they come out, you know, and Gerrit Cole shoves it up Boston's ass on Saturday night. They get a couple of timely hits. And then finally, you know, Major League Baseball decides it's not a good idea to restart a game at 1 o'clock in the morning. They get a 6-inning win. And then last night, you know, with a bunch of fucking cat, you know, it's like, you know, you are we allowed to talk about Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer on here? I know.
Oh, sure, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like the Island of the Misfit Toys playing the fucking outfield for the Yankees last night.
Yeah.
And the Yankees have one of their highest offensive outputs of the season, scoring 9 runs. So, I mean, like, again, so now you feel a little bit better. Jameson Taillon on national TV is continuing to take another step to be that guy that you had hoped he was when they traded, but now they got Philly coming in. What, again, I'd say this all the time, Phillies. But what do you expect them to do now?
You got to win these two games. You got to win these two
games. Exactly, but do you expect them to win these two games?
I don't expect much right now, but let me say this.
Is Aaron Nola pitching?
Yeah, it's Herman. We'll get to that, but it's
Aaron Nola's pitching. Okay. I'm not going to sweep, okay?
But let me ask you a question. Who pitched Friday night for the Red Sox?
For the Red Sox?
Yes.
It was the lefty.
It was Eduardo Perez.
It was Perez. Rodriguez.
Rodriguez.
Right? Correct me if I'm wrong. Haven't the Yankees, at least over the last couple years, had a lot of trouble with him for whatever reason? Even if he has a fucking 6 ERA on the season, they just can't hit him.
It's baffling.
So that's why I didn't take that game into too much. Like, I wasn't going crazy, but if you look at this team from there on out, yes, did they get helped out by the rain? Sure. But they held the Red Sox to that point to 1 run. Cole came out and pitched a great game, and then they follow it up on national television with a 9-1 win. You got to feel a lot better about this team over this past.
Dude, this guy posted a picture of Spider Tack on his and he says, "I have no idea how guys pee between innings with this stuff on their hands." And somebody replies, "I dare you to rub one out with it."
Or you just pull a Posada. You just piss on your hands before the game.
Would you rub one out with Spider Tack on your hands?
I would, for sure.
I've used worse.
I've used worse.
You've used worse?
Whenever Spider Tack, I think of the little giants when they put the fucking
the pine tar
or whatever on the sticky.
Well, you're go yank for a reason, right? So
absolutely, gotta live by that shit.
So it was it was a good weekend. The Yankees won a series that they needed to win, but I mean, now looking forward here, you know, you got the Phillies coming in. They had sweeping. Splitting, I should say, it shouldn't be an option. No. They need to go out there and sweep and then go in, you know, and then they got 4 in Boston. And you hope that by the time they hit Boston, they can start getting some guys back.
Yeah. I mean, that's the
Aaron Boone didn't seem to think that it would be less than the 10 days. It appears that everybody is asymptomatic except for one player, but it's minor symptoms. So I think you have to test positive, negative 3 times in a row before you can come
twice
back.
Twice or 3 times. Let me ask you
Yankees last 4 wins, they've only allowed 2 runs. That's pretty nice.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. If they take both against the Phillies, do you accept a split in the 4-game set now against the Red Sox coming up?
If you're telling me that you're just solely focused on the wild card, yes. If you have
dreams of course division, you're not. Of course you're not.
Well, then no, they have to win 3 games in Boston.
Especially because they
You got to start making up
amount of games left with Boston.
Yeah, too, of course they do. That. They for whatever reason, the beginning of the year, they don't play them at all. So,
no.
And then, honestly, you know, you want to say whatever. The Yankees caught a break that they rescheduled that game for August in a doubleheader because that could have that would have been not good to say the least if they had to play a doubleheader this
weekend. Oh, right. So this weekend coming up is just four straight games Thursday through Sunday. Then there's no So really, there's no excuse. I mean, this team, if they're serious about winning this division, they gotta take 3 out of 4 against the Red Sox, man.
And Gerrit Cole, I mean, we're back in love with Gerrit Cole, but he's got to atone for that.
Absolutely. Hey, he's got to do that the rest of the year, man.
And he's lined up. You know, Boone said that they kind of messed with him a little bit to make sure that he pitched twice against Boston and against Tampa, where it's his first three starts coming out of the break. So
yeah, and you know what? It seems like
the Yankees for actually doing something fucking smart for once, realizing that it's more important to pitch your ace against your division rivals than the fucking Phillies.
Right. You gotta put something else into context too. I know the Blue Jays have been playing really, really well over the last couple weeks, few weeks, but everyone's talking about how they're sticking around. I mean, they're really not. The Yankees, if the Yankees were playing up to potential and keeping up with the Red Sox and Blue Jays, you wouldn't be thinking about the Red Sox and Rays. You wouldn't be thinking about the Blue Jays right now.
Yeah, but they're sticking around because they're two games out of a wild card.
They're sticking around because the Yankees just haven't been able to make any separation. I mean, if the Yankees had even 53 wins right now, 52, you're not even thinking about the Blue Jays. But the Blue Jays need to start losing more games. I mean, of course,
one tonight.
Of course, yeah, but at the expense of our fucking the first place team in the division.
Did you really think the Red Sox weren't going to make somebody pay for losing to a team that had Ryan Lamar, Greg Allen, and
make them look like
in
fucking
the lineup last night?
Yeah, that was all around good win.
I want to give a shout out to Roofnet Odor, man. I don't think this guy gets enough respect and love from Yankee fans, just because he struggles at times. But every time there's a meeting on the mound, who's there?
Yeah, man. I said this a few weeks ago.
Roofie.
Every time someone hits a home run, he's the first guy out.
First guy out of the dugout. Who was out there? I mean, really, who was out there last night when they were checking out on Ryan Lamar? He was out there too. This guy, he's part of the team, and
he loves being here.
He loves being here, and you saw the versatility in his game, or not even the versatility in his game, but the willingness to do different things when he had that bunt early in the game, and then he went and cracked a big home run later in the game.
Yeah, the Yankees. So, I said this. It doesn't like everyone's so concerned about who they're going to get at the deadline and shit like that. Yeah, would it be great to put Joey Gallo in this lineup? Sure, but that's not going to solve our problems. What's going to solve our problems is a fundamental change in this organization, and you're starting to see that, and they're starting to win more games. It starts with leaving Gerrit Cole in that game. I know he wasn't going to allow Boone to take him out, but at the same time, that kind of is a switch of like,
what was he going to do if Boone said you're out of here? Punch him in the face?
Oh, maybe. At that point, did you see him? I wouldn't have put it past him. Okay.
Ryan, what would that have sounded like if I'll be Aaron Boone, you be Gerrit Cole? Coley, you're done here. 125 pitches, you're done.
Get the fuck out of here.
And then what would Amy have tweeted? He didn't say that.
I just kind of blacked out and said the F word a lot.
I make $35 million more dollars, you Aaron. I'll get you fired.
You know, that's what. And we don't talk about this at all on the show, but it's something that should be brought up, is in what other profession does the boss make significantly less money than the employees do?
It's true.
What other, Chris, really think about it. You go to work, your boss makes way more money than you do.
You could say in any entertainment industry, it's possible that a director, director of a movie or something like that.
Yeah, but if you're making a big time blockbuster movie, the director, especially if they're a star director, is making a lot of money where they can say, do what I fucking tell you to do.
Well, I think it's more in movie sense. Like, let's talk about Scorsese, right? Scorsese's doing a movie. It's more of the respect of it doesn't matter how much money you're making. You're not really, if you're Gerrit Cole, you're not respecting Aaron Boone too much in that situation. It's more like, sure, fuck you.
Respects him as the position of being his manager, but when you start comparing stuff like that, like, how is Gerrit Cole going to be told no by a guy that makes $35 million less than he does?
So, like, it starts there, though, right? They leave him in. He's at 120 pitches or something crazy. And it's like, oh, we didn't go with the analytics here. We let our ace actually stay in this game and face that last batter. And then after that, it's like, oh, couple hit and runs, couple stolen bases, a bunt here and there. And all of a sudden, this team's producing again. There had to be a fundamental change, and you just hope. And I'm not saying when all the other guys come back that you're going to see as many stolen bases and whatnot, but there could still be a fundamental change in a sense of we need to manage this game with our gut now and put the analytics aside a little bit. This is our lineup, so analytics shouldn't matter at this point. We need to start managing this game with our gut, bringing guys in. Like, I thought Boone didn't get enough credit going to Green when he did last night. Mm. I thought that was a great move, and it really saved the tone of that game because the Yankees came out and really, right? That was before the game, they broke the game open.
Yeah, no, the game was still close.
It was like 4-1 or something at that, or 4-0, 3-0, whatever. And then the Yankees really broke the game open after that. I thought that was a really great move by Boone, and he didn't get enough credit for it. It's just those moments where it's just like, start managing with your gut, put the analytics aside a little bit, play with house money right now. You're fucking six games out of first place in the loss column. Start just trusting this team a little more that you have on the field.
All right, true or false, Greg Allen is an everyday player until they get healthy.
Oh, 100%. I mean, the guy has to be out there. He puts the ball in play. He's a lot like DJ LeMahieu in that sense, where he might not be the, you know, he's obviously not the caliber hitter of DJ LeMahieu, but he's going to make, right? Yeah, he's going to make things happen. And you need a guy like that in your lineup.
You don't want to, look, it's hard to make or break a guy's career after two games, especially when one of them, the Yankees didn't place him on the IL. They're calling it cramping. I guess we'll see what happens tomorrow, especially when one of them gets hurt. But Trey Ambergy, through what I've seen of him so far, and I'm not saying Greg Allen is a fucking superstar, but what I've seen of Trey Ambergy is a guy that the Yankees were probably right in not calling up because he looks like a minor league ball player. Mm-hmm. Greg Allen, to me, at least through what I've seen so far, looks like he can contribute to this team. Look, he looks hitterish up there. Yeah, he's got speed. He can play in the outfield. And like I said, I'm not expecting him to go out there and hit 350 and give me 10 home runs, but I think he at least has shown, at least through the series, is that he'll be competent enough and be versatile enough to help this team right now.
Yeah, and I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but he has major some
experience.
Yeah,
he's had a little bit.
So I mean, that goes a long way. I mean, that goes a long way when you're talking. Is it fair to say Trey Ambergy can't fucking, you know, after a few games, you know, settle in and be a good player for them? Yeah, of course he can, but I'll take the guy with some experience who puts the bat on the ball and fucking makes things happen.
But look at, like, Chris Gittens. I mean, yeah, the guy, his OPS is like 1,200 in AAA, but he comes up here and it's not
true. He has some good at-bats, though.
He has good at-bats, but it's not, I mean, really, at the end of the day, what are we talking about?
I know it's not fair to rip on Gardy for this because he had a great game last night. He kind of killed me with that 3-1 fucking weak ground out to first base with the bases loaded to end that inning.
Yeah, that one stung. That one hurt. I didn't try. I was trying to put it in the hole.
You have a guy who's fucking on the ropes in a 3-1 count. It, like, at least hit the ball a little harder for me and knock him out of the game. You let him off the hook. You could have really, but they ended up winning. At that point, I saw Chapman start warming up. I'm like, fuck. I was trying to bet on DraftKings to put $10 on the Red Sox money line to come back when it was 7-1, just so I wouldn't be miserable if they lost, and I would have won $1,000. So,
oh man,
I didn't. That's not a bad idea. They didn't let me put it on, but I'm going to do that from now on. Whenever I see Chapman warming up in a 7-2 game,
he's back.
I hope so.
Fighter tack back.
But Boone said coming out of the break, he's like, because we kind of contradicted ourselves last week about using them, not using them. And then we said, it's almost now you got to just say, fuck it and use them. And Boone basically said that coming out of the break, it's like, we got to use the guy. I mean, if there's save situations, we have to use them. Like, we can't play around with this anymore. It's either Aroldis Chapman is our closer, or we're really not going to get to where we need to go.
Well, we used to say this about some key guys over the 5 years we've been doing this. There's certain guys that when a team is built and you're trying to win a championship, that you can't just sit there and say, okay, he's not working out. You need them to work out. You need them to be the player that you expect them to be in order for you to win a World Series. Chapman's one of those guys. You said it last week. The Yankees can't win with him as the closer and not being able to use him and being scared to use him. You got to be confident in Chapman. He's got to go out there in the 7-1, 9-1 games and prove that he can at least throw strikes and be dominant again.
So remember a couple minutes ago we were talking about injury-prone players?
Yes.
Luke Voit.
Oof. He's killing me, man. It's so tough to like rip him because he played through all that pain last year.
But and now this knee thing is in the same knee toward the meniscus in. So now is this going to be like a chronic situation for him?
Well, I was thinking about this today. And it's like, why do the Yankees have so many injuries, prolonged injuries, same guys getting injured the same way? And it's like, do they feel the way we feel, at least felt, going into the season of like, you know, they're a shoo-in for the postseason? So like, are the Yankees just really cautious with certain guys because they feel like if they're going to get them right, they'd rather do it now and have them healthy for the postseason? Like, is Voit one of those guys that it's like he could probably play through it, but they don't want him to right now?
Why?
Well, what is it? He's getting fluid drained from his knee?
Chris, he was put on the IL the same day they had to sit six guys.
Right.
But that's my point.
But you do that, Chris. You might do that for a guy like Stanton, who's making $27 million this year. A guy like Voit isn't making enough money.
Yeah, that's true.
They would baby him.
That's true. I guess, I mean, like, Judge and Stanton. Maybe they are a little bit. Yeah.
If they see a future with him. Like, Judge might be a guy that would...
Yes.
You see a future with. I don't know if they necessarily are planning a future around Luke Voit right now.
No, I don't.
Nor should they.
Right.
He's been a good player. I mean, we can't.
Yeah, no. He led the league in home runs last year.
Look, we talked about this last week. If the Yankees came out and said tomorrow that Luke Voit's done for the year, I will shed zero tears about it.
Here's what I want to do.
Because honestly, if you think about it, I think this team is probably better with, and you want to roast me for it, LeMahieu at first base and Odor at second, than Luke Voit being in the lineup.
Mm.
That's how I feel. I'm sorry.
Yeah, not when he's going 7-for-8 a couple series ago.
Again, you know what, bro?
With 7-for-8. Like, I mean, he went like 7-for-8. That's pretty, okay, I'll take that.
Okay.
I'll take that.
Yeah, but, and he led the league in home runs last year.
You know what I want to do?
Great. It's also, as we talked about a thousand times,
here we go.
It's a redundancy to have another right-handed power bat on there. Odor brings you a little bit of versatility in there being a left-handed batter.
I'm not going to argue Odor being in this lineup. I'm not going to do it because I think he deserves to be there. I like the lefty pop, and I'm not going to argue it. But you know what I want to do next episode? Try to remind me. I want to take a few minutes and go over our over-unders that we predicted in the beginning of the year just to see where we're at. Because, we were saying, like, he better hit X amount of home runs, right? We were talking about DJ LeMahieu's batting average.
Brian.
Garrett Cole's ERA.
Called it.
So I think it would be cool to just take a... Just because
Ryan's
this
like
team,
be one of those guys on Twitter, be like, "I told you I was right."
Yeah,
sucks.
I start every sentence.
This
with
team,
that.
This,
I said it first. I said it.
This team has been so disappointing in the big picture of things this season that I think it'd be cool to look back on some of the shit that we predicted.
Yeah. So we'll kind of close out the show with this here. So we're all in agreement here that the Yankees should be trying to acquire players to make a run at this.
If
as opposed to selling, like, are you saying should they be buyers or sellers?
Or sticking their thumb up their ass and doing nothing?
I'll tell you what. I'd be more pissed if they sold. I'd be more pissed if they stuck their thumbs up their ass than I would if they sold. You got to give me some moves, dude.
Do something.
You got to give me something. You got to give me something big.
I'm not going to do anything.
No, you might be right, Ryan. I'm not putting anything past this organization at this point.
The only way they do that is if they shed salary, like, and they trade a guy like how they traded out of Eno last year to get some more money. Then they're going to have to trade someone that's making a decent amount. Like
the problem is there's
Chapman.
Only two guys that make sense to do that, and it's Britton or Chapman.
Yeah, right.
It really is. And what are you getting for either of them?
No, it's not about what you're getting. It's that you're dumping their salary, and then from there you're dumping, and then you're acquiring a hitter.
Well, we did a keep them dump them last week.
They're not going to go over that tax. I know. I missed it.
And Christian made a great point. Like, if you're between the two right now, I mean, if Chapman's going to come back around, obviously we could have different perspectives in the next week or two. But I'm keeping Britton over Chapman.
The thing that makes it hard with Chapman is that. I agree with you. I would rather move Chapman at this point, but the only place that makes sense for him would be the NL West. And he has in his contract, he has a no trade clause for all five teams of California. He has no trade clauses for all five teams of California and Seattle.
And he likes being a Yankee. I don't
those yeah, are, well, you can tell
those,
him to get
those
the
are the only three teams. Those are the only three teams that he has any chance of going
you
to.
Tell
would
him
be
to
the
get
Giants,
the fuck over it. How about
the Padres,
that?
Or the Dodgers. Dodgers. Yeah, get over
it. Trade him to the Mariners.
Yeah, he'd be good there.
Well, he has the no trade for the Mariners.
I thought you said it was only three teams in the NL West.
The three teams that he would go to in the NL West would be the Dodgers or the Padres because they have the money for him, and okay. The Giants because the Yankees have a kind of a recent trade history with the Giants where that would make sense. They've made moves with the Giants more than any other team in the last year.
I'd like to put Mike Tucker in this lineup.
He could go
trade him to the Pirates.
How about to the Reds? I could trade him to the Reds.
Yes. Yeah.
What were the Yankees like?
Honestly,
I just
that's where he came up. The Reds.
What were the Yankees thinking? I still, I don't care what Talkman has done so far this year, being a Giant. What were they thinking with Wandy Peralta brings more value to this team than because at this point Justin Wilson wasn't a piece of garbage. Like, they didn't think he was as much of a piece of garbage as he is.
Was he just hurt at that point?
I don't even think he was hurt. Was he hurt? But they knew he was coming back. This is when I thought Britton was going to be prolonged.
Look, I don't think they thought that they'd be this deep into the depth chart with outfielders, number one. And number two, if you can acquire a quality, and for the most part, you want to say quality. He's been there. He's pitched some big innings. He's gotten some big outs. It's not like he's been a complete waste. If you can add to your bullpen, it's probably a good idea to do it based on a guy that you really didn't see playing time.
And you also didn't think Cortez was going to come up and be as good as he's been. Is it true that Billy McKinney got DFA'd?
Yeah.
You know,
we
always liked Billy McKinney when he was here.
He's not going to get traded to the Yankees.
No, I'm sure you. And would it make a difference? Really? No. But I like. Look, we got to like having depth in this organization at this point in the outfield.
The Mets would rather light him on fire than trade him to the Yankees.
True.
The Yankees could say, "We will trade you Gerrit Cole." And pay his entire salary for Billy McKinney, and the Mets would still say no.
Probably.
Yeah, but how does that work when you're DFA'd? Isn't he fair game?
No.
No, he has to. The Mets retain his rights for like 10 days. They can either train him, or then he has to accept the assignment to the minor leagues or choose free agency. So right now, he's still in that window where the Mets retain his rights where they can trade him.
I always thought there was like waivers or something where they go
through. Yeah, you go through. But it still has to be an agreed. It's not like, I claim him, and then he's there.
He wasn't placed on waivers. He wasn't released. He was DFA. There's a difference.
Oh, right. You're right.
The Mets were trying to get him.
It's funny, right? I had the same confusion in my head. Mm-hmm.
The Mets just really wanted him off the 40-man roster is what they were trying to do there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they're in a dogfight with the Reds right now, fighting.
Yeah, I saw that. They're tied at 7.
So, as I was saying here, we'll briefly touch on this, is that with Joey Gallo, right, does he solve all the Yankees' problems? No, of course not. I would be naive to think that. But when he checks two are three big boxes of what this team needs. Why are you against acquiring Joey Gallo? And I'm not saying the Yankees are going to. If, I would put it at less than 10%. He actually is a Yankee, but I'm just saying that he's the popular name. He's the sexy name.
I don't think it's that low. I think there's a better chance than that. I do.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, look, it starts here. Ready? Is he a lefty?
Yes.
Okay, then the next question is, can he play outfield?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And is he one of the, I guess you could even say, elite power lefty batters in the league right now?
He's one of the better left-handed power hitters in the American
League, so, yes. So when you answer yes to all those questions, how can you argue that he wouldn't be a good fit for this lineup right now?
Well, because he strikes out so much.
Yeah, but again, if you have guys at the lower half of this lineup that can put the bat on the ball, guys like Gio Urshela, and then, you know, DJ LeMay, who's coming around at the top of the lineup, it's okay to have guys that strike out too much. You know,
here's the point, though, right? You don't have a free pick of 10 or 20 guys you can acquire. You're at a trade deadline situation where you have to basically just go with what teams are putting on. Excuse me. On the block. So would you like to get Christian Yelich? Sure, I'm sure you would. But
why the fuck would he be available?
First place.
Are the Brewers making him available?
He's a free agent next year, so maybe they'd want to.
Yeah, but why wouldn't they sign him?
But that's the point.
They're going to probably try it too.
All right, so would you just rather not get better because you're not 100% in love with the player?
Right. And like, I mean,
you can't tell me that acquiring Joey Gallo doesn't make the Yankees better.
Yeah, it does, of course. Anything makes the Yankees better right now, especially a left-handed batter at his caliber. But let's just bring this point up real quick. SGR brought this up before the season, and it's not being talked in a serious manner right now, talked about in a serious manner. Why is Max Scherzer to the Yankees not being talked about at all?
Well, why would it be? I think the Nationals think they're still in this.
But they're not. Okay, I'm not saying they're not, but they're not in a position to not get pieces to reinforce this team for Max Scherzer right now. That would be a huge fail for them, I think. It would be a huge fail being where they're at. And I'm not saying they're out of it, but what I'm saying is,
I mean,
have they been a championship caliber team right now?
Seven out.
You know, I thought about this last night. We should really hate the fucking Mets right now for not dominating. Because the Nationals should really be like 14 out. Mm-hmm. But the Mets have sucked.
They're 7 out of the division, 8 out of a wild card. And they literally have to jump over.
Okay. So come on. Teams. In that sense, are you out of it? No. There's still a lot of baseball left. But you're at a position now where you need to reinforce your team. Who better than Max Scherzer to do that with?
Again, is he available?
I would have to imagine so. If he goes... Let's just put it this way. If he proves to be available and goes to another team, is it Cashman's fault? Like, shouldn't Cashman be doing anything possible to acquire Max Scherzer if he's truly available?
Well, again, you know, I've been on record saying this, that if it really comes down to just money, that shouldn't stop the Yankees from getting this guy. But again, if it's... What are other teams being asked for? What are the Yankees being asked for? We always have to look.
But what asking price is too high for Max Scherzer right now?
For a rental?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, if you're asking for three or four top prospects, yeah, that's kind of high.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I'm not kidding you.
Are you fucking kidding me right now?
Look,
what top four prospects have been so phenomenal outside of Judge that you wouldn't risk taking Max Scherzer here? To try and win
the
World
Series. Name me one general manager that's making that trade. Name me one general manager that's going to take his top four prospects and trade him for a rental.
I would.
Name me one.
I would.
How many general prospects, manager jobs do you have?
You've said this more than anyone, and you're turning on your word.
I'm not
prospects
turning on
are
my
nothing.
Word. I'm not.
They
turning
are
on my
imaginary
word.
Fairies in the minor leagues right
was
now.
Was name me a GM that will make that deal.
Okay. So who were the top four prospects? Name them
right
now.
What if they want, like...
name the
they
four.
Start with, what if they start with Dominguez? You know that's not going to happen.
Okay, just name the four for me.
All right. So what about you got Anthony Volpe?
Okay. That's two.
Okay.
Name two more.
Already right there. That's not going to happen.
That's too much. That's too much. Okay. Then
it would just be him.
Okay. Then I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what. If that deal proves to be on the table, something to those, you know, standards there, and he says no, and those guys come up and they're fucking superstars, I will eat my words. I'll do anything you want me to do. But right now, those guys are nothing to me. They mean nothing. And the Yankees have proven time and time again that every prospect they bring up is a piece of garbage.
This is the problem we run into all the time. You're Chris the fan. I'm trying to tell you as realistically of what will happen.
The Yankees will not
trade four top prospects for this guy.
I'm speaking to you as
Chris. Nobody will.
I'm speaking to you as Chris that this team needs to win a fucking championship. Okay? And prospects mean nothing to me. Mm-hmm. Nothing. Absolutely nothing to me.
Find me the GM that's trading the top.
Okay, tell me something. When will Jason Dominguez be a big impact to the major league roster?
Well, if things keep going the way they are, I'll be up here by the end of the next week.
Honestly, when?
I'd say within the next 2 years.
What about
two,
Volpe?
2 years. Huh?
What about Volpe?
Probably the same timeline.
Next okay. Same thing, yeah. So you're good with 2-3 years of the same bullshit.
Oh my God!
Because we're not gonna
you don't listen. You okay. Don't listen.
Okay,
I'm not telling you what I'm good with. I'm telling you that.
Well, tell me what you're good telling with. Tell me what you're good with. Would you do it?
Would I trade Dominguez and Volpe? No, yep. I would not trade both of them.
Why? Because it's too good for you, right? You have two. Why are they really good Major League Baseball players?
Are they?
I don't know. Are they?
You got to hold on to something.
Oh, I don't know. Are they?
Are they?
I don't know. Well, there you go. Is Max Scherzer a good Major League Baseball player?
So you want to trade 5 or 6 top prospects for Max Scherzer?
Prospects are nothing to me right now.
Okay.
If the Yankees had won a World Series a couple years ago, I'd be singing a completely different tune. But this team has gone way too long, and I don't give a fuck about top prospects to me, all they are get me guys that can play in the major leagues right now, because the window's fucking closing, and I need to win a World Series right now.
Do you have faith in this team with Max Scherzer that they're making the postseason?
100%.
I can't even say that with any certainty, so that's another reason why I wouldn't make the deal.
That's
when we talked about this 3 or 4 months ago, I thought this team would be in first place by 9 games right now. So to trade Jason Dominguez for Max Scherzer in April when we talked about it was a different mindset because of where I thought this team was. So to mortgage more of my future for a guy that – the way this team has played this year, I still can't even guarantee myself a postseason spot. Okay. I think is a little bit short-sighted.
Okay, now I'm gonna just completely debunk your whole point. Okay,
here we go.
If the Yankees were in first place by 4 games right now, would you do a deal that included Dominguez and Volpe for Max Scherzer a rental?
No, I would trade Jason Dominguez straight up for him.
No. I said Dominguez and Volpe.
No, I would offer them Jason Dominguez straight up.
But you're not answering my question. Dominguez and Volpe, would you do it?
Probably.
Probably, yeah. Doesn't seem like it.
I would have to think about it.
Because you just refuted me twice. So it has nothing to do with where they are.
It has a lot to do with where they are.
You're becoming a prospect hugger now.
I'm not becoming a prospect hugger. When I told you that if I can guarantee this team being in the postseason here, that I would trade Jason Dominguez to put them over the top. But I can't even guarantee that based on any of the moves they're going to make. So why are you going to mortgage your future and then be
because here's the answer. Home on October here's 3rd. The answer. I don't give a fuck about the future. I need to do everything that it takes right now.
To be in the World Series.
Right now.
When this team is still 6 games out of
because
you
want to know why? Even if they got Scherzer and didn't make the postseason, okay? My future is the same. My future is the same. Because I don't trust the Yankees nurturing these prospects enough to be the superstars they're supposed to be.
And I don't trust this team to get into the postseason this year, even with.
So then what's the difference?
What's
the difference? We don't trust them nurturing prospects, and we don't trust them making the postseason anyway. So why not at least gamble?
Because at least then I can maybe hang my hat on the fact that somebody else will be in here making decisions.
Oh, yeah? That won't happen. I can promise you that.
Well,
and then what? We can go back to 2016. I don't know, we're saying, in a few years, guys, in a few years, this is what we said in 2016. In a few years, guys, we're going to be World Series ready, World Series caliber team. Can't get rid of these prospects, guys. Can't do it. Can't get rid of the top three prospects. Where are our top three prospects from then? Where are they? Where are they? Gleyber Torres was one of them after we got him. How's he doing? Okay. Chance Adams was one of our top prospects. How's he doing? No, he was one of our top prospects. Okay, how's Luis Severino doing? Has he contributed the last few years?
Has he ever got healthy?
Okay, but how's he doing? Is he good? Is he contributing? So again, we'll go back to 2016. We'll do the same thing, right? When is that going to end? I don't care about the future anymore, man. I care about right now. This team needs to win a World Series right now. I don't care what it takes. If it takes the future, fine, because right now we don't have a fucking future, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Future. As long as Cashman is at the helm of this team, they're not winning anything.
So you want him to completely fuck up the next 5 years, too?
What he's doing now is not working. So, yeah, let's go off the books here. Let's get rid of our top few prospects for Max Scherzer.
Ruin everything, then.
Hey, listen, if you think I'm wrong, fine. Tweet me, put it in the comments, put it in review. Fine. I'm fine with disagreement. But at this point, you have no leg to stand on. You can't tell me that we need to protect the future when we had the same argument 3 years ago, 4 years ago, and the future has been garbage.
The argument remains the same, is that Brian Cashman shouldn't really be touching anything right now.
Well, that's never going to change.
And again, to circle back to what we originally started arguing about, nobody's trading top four prospects for Max Scherzer. Nobody. Especially with how convoluted that contract is.
Facebook is killing people.
The Yankees will be paying. Ryan, what's he getting paid through? Like 2040?
Max Scherzer's making $30 billion a year. $30 billion. Can you believe that?
It's huge.
He makes a shit ton now. It's in the 30s.
Yeah, and it's the Nationals have almost made that contract untradeable.
He was the highest paid pitcher for a while now.
Right, but the deferred money.
7 years, $191 million. What's that in math?
From what I understand, the deferred money goes to the team that acquires him. Unless it's worked out otherwise.
Yeah, 27 a year. It's a solid deal.
There's a lot of other factors to consider when you're trading for him. And again, I said that in April that if he's on the table and they want Jason Dominguez for him, that I'm not going to say no to that. But also now, I mean, you're allowed to change your mind based on the way this team plays.
Yeah,
so if they're gonna.
Yeah, you would have been fine with that going into this year, but you're saying where they are now.
I'll say this:
if you need to make two or three moves in order to get me to the point where I'm saying trade Jason Dominguez now for Max Scherzer because of the way they played.
Listen, let's put the Max Scherzer shit on the shelf for a second. Here's a more realistic take of how I'm going to evaluate this trade deadline. Brian Cashman, better. It doesn't have to be Joey Gallo. You better get me a more than competent left-handed power hitter in this lineup.
Well, they're not.
End of story.
I mean, if you really
end of story,
probably will wind up with Marte from Miami, who's right-handed.
Oh man, that's just a fucking waste to me. That's a waste. Damn, and I like Marte. I do. But that's such a waste. Like you said, Christian, why are we going to continue to get the same guys put in this lineup? Oh my God, it just doesn't check any of the boxes, bro.
We love Brett Gardner as much as anybody. How much more of Brett Gardner in center field do we have to watch?
Wow, it's crazy. It's crazy.
So that's, I mean, I would give him a pass on that just based on that. But obviously my prime target is Joey Gallo. I mean, like, again, you'd have to see what the cost is based on what other teams would be asked for him. But I mean, if he's getting traded, then Brian Cashman's got to be in the middle of that.
If we had Shohei Ohtani on this team, I would actually use my DH for fucking Brett Gardner. That's how bad he's been at the plate. I'd let him play center field, and you can do that in major leagues, right? You don't have to use the DH as your pitcher.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I think you can DH any.
You don't have to.
I would literally do that. Like, that's how, and I'm not trying to rip Guardy. I love Guardy. And he came through last night. He had a good game, but you can't keep putting him in this lineup, man. And it sucks because he's really a lefty. Can't. You want him in there. And he's still, he hasn't skipped a beat in the outfield. He really hasn't. Right.
I don't know. That one play last night, he was a, he lost a step there.
Yeah, but
flew over
his year or two, he makes that play. Year or two ago, he makes that play.
Yeah, but it's been very minimal.
Oh.
Okay. It's been at the plate.
I mean,
you want him in there because he's a lefty, but
man, look, the fact of the matter is this team needs to make a few upgrades. But again, bring another point into this, just because you might need pitching doesn't mean you don't also need an outfielder. So if Joey Gallo or an outfielder that helps you is available.
You only need one thing. You never need.
What do you need? What?
None. You don't need both. You just need one. You just need one thing.
You just need one?
Are you being funny?
Yeah. I'm just trying to be an asshole fan.
You just need Joey Gallo to make the postseason.
No, because I'm making points about Joey Gallo, and fans are like, well, if we get him, don't we still need starting pitching? Well, yeah, duh. Right.
That's where
you
I was
probably,
going.
You do, but so what? Because you need a pitcher?
No, this team needs starting pitchers. Yeah.
Just because you need a starting pitcher doesn't mean you also don't need an outfielder?
You're not selling, which you better not be, you need to upgrade. Sticking your thumb up your ass is unacceptable at this point.
Well, they are upgrading with Severino coming back.
That's what I wanted to bring up, and we'll, because we ran a little longer here now. Regardless of where the Yankees are in September, Luis Severino has to take the mound.
What's his timeline? Let's start there. Do we have a timeline on him?
It's probably still another few weeks before we see him.
Yeah, you tweeted this the other day, that regardless of anything, you still need to get him. You still need to work him up to be on a major league mound this year. There's no exception. I mean, you have nothing to lose. This guy needs to be on a major league mound, and he needs to be healthy.
I don't care how far the Yankees are out of it if they are in September. He has to start games.
Absolutely. Abso-fucking-lutely, because he's a big piece to this team. He really is. He's got the talent. He just hasn't stayed healthy.
Are you selling if the Yankees, let's say the Yankees fall on their face in these next 3 weeks or 2 weeks leading to the trade deadline, Cashman's like, it's not worth it to make any moves because they haven't shown me that they can really be consistent and do this. And you're like, whatever, they're punting 2021. It's just not going to work this year. Are you also punting 2022?
No.
All right. So that's the point of, even if you can get a guy like Joey Gallo, who's under contract for 2022, he helps you next year in a year that you're still, would you still say that they should go for it next year?
You fucking better, dude.
Okay. And Luis Severino is here to be what exactly?
A fucking ace, really, is what he's here to be.
So if he can give you 4 or 5 starts to work out some of the kinks to get him into what you would consider a routine offseason program leading into 2022, isn't that advantageous for you to do?
He can't be going into the offseason working himself back into being a major league pitcher. He needs to be there already and then expand upon it. That needs to happen. You need to see glimpses of Severino this year work himself back into the rotation. You need to see that. And you just said something. I don't know the exact wording you said it, but it just clicked to me of why Cashman isn't going to just let this season go. And you said something to the effect of the players aren't performing, we're whatever, I got to do something here. Cashman's not going to allow that to be the excuse. Cashman has an ego. He doesn't show it all the time. He really doesn't. He's not like, he doesn't go out. He's not like, you know, you wouldn't sit there and say like Cashman seems like a cocky guy, but he has a big ego, and he's going to try and reinforce some of the, you know, holes on this team to give this team a chance. He's not just going to sit back and say, okay, well, this year sucks. He can't do that anymore. We're too many years past the mark that he said they were going to be a World Series championship team.
Is he ever going to get to the point that he got in 2016 where we remember that series in Tampa Bay tilted his entire perspective on that season?
I don't know. I just don't think so, because what I'm trying to say to you is back then we weren't working towards a World Series. We were just doing the same things over and over. The second he sold off Andrew Miller and Chapman in 2016, whatever timeline that was. The second that happened, it became Cashman's team to build. And then he came out and put a time frame on when they were going to be built. And now you can't turn back on that 2 years later from the 2019 mark that he put on this team and say, we need to rebuild again. He's not going to do that.
No, but he can if he knows he's not getting fired.
Well, that was the last point I was going to make. Is part of the problem with him being so comfortable at his job is that his mindset would be completely different right now if he felt like he was in the hot seat. It would be. But if he's comfortable in his position, maybe you're right then, and maybe that's the problem.
And that's the reason why I bring up, would he ever get to a point this year where he gets to, like in 2016, where they just get to a point where he just has no faith that they'll ever really put it together, because he knows that he's going to get another crack at doing this.
If that happens, it just validates us in saying that Brian Cashman is completely untouchable in this organization, and he knows it. That's the only proof you'll need. And in that sense, you can sit back and you can put your money on it that Brian Cashman will be the GM of this organization until he decides he doesn't want to be anymore.
You know, and Michael Kay, which we get on a lot for saying a lot of different things, but he makes an excellent point that Hal's a very loyal guy, and he views Brian Cashman as a member of his own family.
And Brian Cashman.
So it's a different dynamic between owner and GM that other teams might have.
100%. And he's safe. He's a guy who's been there forever. And look, we can rip Brian Cashman all we want. The guy has had the guy's going to go down as one of the most successful GMs in the game. But it's been a different type of Brian Cashman since 2016, where we're putting a lot more on him. We're putting a lot more weight on his shoulders with the moves he makes, because we know you don't have George there anymore really running the show. It's the Brian Cashman show. And it's been fucking boring. It's been boring, and it's got to change.
So, well, like we said, we'll see what happens there. If he really feels comfortable that he's not going anywhere, he could get to that point. But again, even if he gets to that point where he pulls the plug on the season, that's not an excuse not for Luis Severino to make 5, 6, 7 starts this year.
I agree.
He has to do it.
I agree.
So, because that was something I saw on social media this year. If the Yankees are out of it, Luis should never pitch. No.
I agree with you.
Luis Severino has to. The Yankees could be 20 games out of first place. Luis Severino has to pitch this year. That's important. What's also important is the Yankees winning these next two games against Philadelphia. I mean, they owe the Phillies a little revenge from what happened a few weeks ago in Philadelphia. Tuesday night, it's Aaron Nola, who's not pitched like an ace except for when he faced the Yankees this year against Herman, who sucks at everything that he does, including being a human being. So that should, the fuck? People honking the horn outside of my house at 10:30. And then both teams are listed as TBD for Wednesday. Both games are 7:05 starts, so there you go.
Let's see.
Again, what do you expect out of the Yankees this coming two game series?
Okay, what do I expect versus what do I think they're actually going to do, or what they need to do?
What they need to do is sweep. They can't split the series.
What they need to do is go 5-1. That's what they need to do. What will they do?
And we're not even talking. We're not even talking about Boston right now.
This two games sweep. That's it. End of story.
But Didi's back.
Yeah. Well, look.
And Rougned Odor changes number because they're having a retirement ceremony for Didi's 18 on Wednesday night. So.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. The fans should cheer Didi when he first gets up, and if he hits a fucking home run, you better boo his ass his next at bat, because he's not a Yankee anymore.
They'll probably be still chanting fuck out too.
Probably.
And speaking of dumb shit fans, dude, we'll just close out on this. Whether or not you believe that the kid didn't mean to hit Alex Verdugo on Saturday night, The fact that that kid got banned from all 30 Major League Baseball parks is ridiculously stupid, number one. And number two, that would have never happened if Alex Verdugo handled that situation like a normal fucking person. Mm-hmm. He had every right in the world to be mad that somebody hit him with something. But the fact that he's trying to storm the stands and beat this kid up is I don't even know. And people are like,
but we like Verdugo.
We like him and he welcomes it. Yeah, well, you know what? Sometimes you get hit with shit when you run your mouth. Yeah. So I'm not condoning people throwing shit at baseball players. Don't do that. But the ban on that kid was ridiculous. And that's not from the Yankees because the Yankees have no jurisdiction to ban him from 29 other stadiums.
Imagine that.
I know Hal Steinbrenner is a powerful guy, but he doesn't have that type of power. And, you know, if Alex Verdugo would have handled that a little bit better, none of this, we wouldn't really even be talking about this.
We're running long, and I don't want to keep going on this. But just so everyone knows, Major League Ballpark bans are the most idiotic, pointless things ever. My buddy was banned from Yankee Stadium 10 years ago. He's been to like 100 games since then. Okay, they're not like checking IDs. There's not like a fucking device that scans your face when you're walking in that a fucking red light goes off and they're like, nope, he's banned. That doesn't happen. I promise you these security guards are not checking everyone's face and ID and banning you from the stadium. It is just...
All the ban means is that don't get in trouble again or else you're going to jail.
Right, that's it.
So if you want to get back in, just
don't be a douche. Next year.
And don't do anything stupid.
Don't be stupid.
And thank God that situation in Washington was not any worse than it was. And you got to give credit to Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis Jr. getting those fans out of harm's way there. So thank
100%.
God. That was a weird fucking night on Saturday night. Yeah. And
you don't want to
see
that. Things
could have been a lot worse than they actually were. But thank you very much for listening to episode 243 of the NYYST podcast. That guy, Rye, gracious with his presence today. I mean, that deserves a 5-star rating and review on its own. Apple Podcasts, please go to patreon.com/NYYST and become a patron. We'll try to get on there Wednesday night to wrap up the Philly series before we hit Boston for 4. And follow us on Twitter at NYY Sports Talk. Stat Guy Rye.
Go Yanks.
What the fuck was that delay, bro? You haven't been here in a month. You've been
no, it was you. That. It was your
I'm always
your
ready,
mic.
Bro.
Your mic got delayed, so then it like sped up, so it was probably delayed on your end. Why don't we try it again?
Is that what it was?
Okay, let's try this again.
Let's try this again. Stack Guy Rye.
Go Yanks. Go Yanks.
Chris, say goodbye.